To the Final Bell is back for another week, and I'm joined again by Scotty Gullen and Zach Tui. We've got an exciting show coming up. Andrew Bewes is going to join us.
For
retro round or retro game this week as the Cats take on the Kangaroos. And we're under the pump early because Bewes actually joined us in the room right now ahead of his time coming on. So if he doesn't like what we're saying, he might just chip in and throw a few little shots our way. Coming off a terrific win on the weekend over the Gold Coast Suns up there at Metricon Stadium. A great win. We're going to talk all about that. We're going to talk about the next fortnight that is coming up, North Melbourne on the weekend. And then Richmond, we've got a couple of good stories. We've got the VFL recap. We've got the VFLW. We've got your questions. And as always, we will get to For Whom the Bell Tolls and put some pressure on somebody out there in the big, wide world. But let's get straight into it. I think, Zach, I'm going to start with you. And before we get to our start, stop and keep, do we need to perhaps take our man Scott Gullen aside and just...
Becoming a trend, isn't it?
Punctuality is big in a team. Discipline and turning up on time...
45 minutes?
Easily 45 minutes. 50 minutes? Late.
Gentlemen, my executive producer was well aware of where I've been.
Tell me you were somewhere.
I have other commitments.
Somewhere good.
Melbourne and back, and it's what time? The punters would know. It's 9:30 in the morning, so my commitment...
Have you been to Melbourne and back already?
Yes.
Okay. So you
more respect, Cameron.
You don't overly prioritise our podcast.
So even if you thought it was half nine, you still rocked in at 10 to 10.
So I was caught downstairs. There was an incident with our guest, and I was accompanying Andrew up these.
Oh, so now you're blaming
under the bus.
This is an unfair attack. Yeah. You know I'm open to a lot of attacks, but this one...
Punctuality.
Great umbrage.
We will set up a peer assessment for you at some stage. Okay. Sit you at the front of the room and let you have it, Scotty.
I'll be like Gazza. I won't take it very well.
took it beautifully. Last week we asked for the team to start scoring goals.
Yes.
And boy, did they ever achieve that. What a second quarter in particular, Zach. Before we get to start, stop and keep, wow, that was impressive.
Yeah, flick the switch in the midfield. God, it makes a big difference when you start winning it out of the middle and... there was no doubt Gaz was going to respond sooner or later. He had a massive day out. But Mitch Duncan, probably in the second quarter, he was the one who launched it. He was everywhere.
He was brilliant. And he's a little interrupted start to the season for Mitch, but feels like he's really rolling now. Because you mentioned Gaz, we'll start with the stop.
Oh, yeah.
Can we stop the Gaz talk now, perhaps in the big wide world of football media? Or stupidly, bewilderingly... I read a quote somewhere saying, well...
Wasn't me.
No, it wasn't Scott Gullen. That, well, it was only against the Gold Coast Suns and they're struggling, therefore we can't get carried away against Gaz. So he can't win. If he's not playing well enough, people bag him. Now, if he has an absolute blinder, the opposition wasn't good enough.
There's not much more he can do, is there?
Come on.
If he's going to respond like that every time he gets bagged, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for people to keep going. But
start bagging away, then.
How was he? You've only known Gaz for a little while, but was there something different about... He went up early, I'm told.
Yeah, but I would think he still has friends and that up there. I'm not sure. But he's pretty... I mean, he's had a long, pretty successful career, so I think he's used to... being burdened with some criticism. But he's pretty consistent in his behaviour. He's just a down-to-earth sort of nice guy, and it's hard to know what's weighing on his conscience. But if that was getting to him, geez, it was a good response.
It's the first time the big five have sort of clicked in one game. So we're talking Dangerfield, Ablett, Selwood, Duncan, and I'll throw in T. Kelly, who had a couple of down weeks.
I like the fact you've now... Big five.
Well, I'm expanding.
How big does the number get before before Reggie's involved? 18, 19?
I'm pushing for your midfield role to increase. But they all clicked. And I know, yes, it was the Gold Coast who have been struggling. But I think that was very important. Because 11 rounds in, we had to see it. You know, all those words about joining together, understanding. I think it was there.
It was there, absolutely. And let's not dismiss the Gold Coast Suns. I know they're not having a great year, but... And we're going to get to them a little bit later on, perhaps. But it's still an AFL team with a lot of talent and some good footballers running around. They had to produce... In the first quarter, very competitive. It was quality footy that broke them in the end. And you want to see that from a team that's got higher aspirations, perhaps, than the Gold Coast Suns. Well, not perhaps, definitely, than the Gold Coast Suns. So... It was impressive. I'm with you, Scotty.
I'll throw another name. Link McCarthy. He's just different to the other smalls.
Yeah.
Physically, takes... Do you know what I mean?
I
just saw him downstairs. He isn't a very large man, but he plays taller on the footy.
He's strong, though, you know, for for his size, he's strong and he's pretty kind of thick set. And although he missed a few shots at goal, which he was flat about, he's just a beautiful kick on both sides. And he's come from a long way back in terms of injury. So it's great to see somebody work so hard and then get almost instant reward, you know, once they get back.
Yeah, it's something different.
Yeah. It leads to an exciting fortnight, and that's going to bring on Start now.
Yes.
Start the talk of the real massive tests for the team. Every game's a test in AFL football. It's a
no cliches on this
incredible
show,
competition.
We're not in Channel 7
the
yet.
Next, just 1 week at a time.
The next fortnight is huge. North Melbourne here Saturday afternoon. They are playing brilliant football, followed by Richmond MCG on Sunday afternoon. Great test, and that's where we're really going to get an indication ahead of the bye about how much the teams come together and how good they are going.
He's pointing at you when he's putting you under a thumb. Yeah. He's pointing.
Well, he's not going to go to you for footy analysis, is he?
Started already. That's 11 rounds in, already turned on me.
That's what you get for turning up late.
Right this second, North are one of the most informed teams in the comp. I mean, they're playing, they've played well for long enough now to start talking about them like they're a proper top-end team. So it's a good time to have had a good win against Gold Coast last week, but this is going to be a huge test.
And defensively, both teams are very good. Like, they're very good, and your numbers stack up too.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. Hopefully it's not like
two
goals to one sort of game. But, on a tight ground, when you have two good defensive sides, it's going to be a contested game.
Goldie's in great form too. Like, he's been, it's no mistake, I would suppose. You look at their form, North, and you look at Goldie, he's been fantastic.
He's kind of
critical in the ruck.
Yeah, he's back to that sort of hitting it everywhere and moving
kicks
well
goals.
And kicks goals. Really good user for a big guy. So, you know, you got Cunnington and Higgins as.
Oh, Higgins.
Doing whatever he wants. It's a minute. Yeah.
That is the voice of Andrew Buse, our guest.
Popped in.
Love the fact he's grabbed the microphone, and it's good to have you, Buse. I will welcome you officially. Just people think, someone's voice has changed here. Great to have you here, mate.
Thanks, mate.
It's you're right. It's a good point you make, though. That starts from the middle with Goldstein, Cunnington. Yeah. Higgins gets going. What about the big fella up forward, though? Ben Brown.
Benjamin. Oh, he's a star.
Is it... I know footy's changed, team defence, everything like that, but does somebody get that job and say 90% of the time the ball goes down there, you make sure you're the man who's playing on Ben Brown?
Yeah, well, I guess obviously we don't have Harry. He's been out for a while. Hendo's been gone all year. But, like, Blitz has taken on some pretty big tasks. He's playing unbelievable down back. I'm not sure what the perception is outside. He's playing ridiculous
the
down
punters
back.
The are loving it.
But we got him and Colin Jasny, who's... If he hasn't taken the next step in his development already, he's just about to. So it will be a bit of a team fox, but Blitz will probably spend a fair bit of time on him.
Brown, because he's that jumps high at the footy and he's so tall. And I think last week there was controversy about the blocking which Clarko's put on the agenda, and North were a bit upset about free kicks. So you're going to be on notice for your cheating blocking that you do. I think they're going to be watching.
Don't ever accuse me of blocking for a cheating again.
Cheating. I heard cheating too. You're sitting next to two defenders
the ultimate.
Here.
Yeah. Wow. It was allowed back in your day. You just king hit people and it was all okay.
Usually first cheating. Rover and then went and a magnificent career in the back pocket.
At the age of 23.
All right, we've got to get to keep, and we are talking to Angus Kramer soon about the VFL and how well they played on the weekend, but can I say as a keep, Zach, Ryan Gardner as a forward?
It's a good start, wasn't
Six
it?
Six goals on the weekend, Six. Fantastic performance. Kelling kicked two goals the week before. The boys are calling him plugger?
Well, he's instigated that as much as anybody else. I'll just put that out there, but... Jeez, it was a hell of a start, wasn't it? Six goals.
Plugger. I believe there's a little story around a couple of his teammates, team meeting, Ryan Gardner kicking six.
Yeah, it wasn't a great week for Colin Jasny to give him a little dig and say that, if you kick six goals, I'll pay for your flights to USA. And no. I'm sure it's one of those, he's not going to do it. This is laughing. We come in after the Gold Coast game and it was written up on the whiteboard, Plugger Gardner, six goals, and you could see Colin's face just go white. So not the week to sort of mock your teammate, but he's out of pocket, Colin.
So he's he's committed to paying for his flights.
It's one of those. It was a, genuinely happened, and it was a bet. So I'm not sure if it's a
one way.
One way. That's his get out.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk to Angus about the six. But was there some mass celebration on his sixth? And he's
I'm not sure. I haven't seen it.
We need to find
Jumper over the head.
Yeah.
Random middle. Show the goose.
He'd have every right to. He knows he's going to the USA. Pointy end of the plane. Return
you would
flights.
Think. Yep.
Just so, sit back and relax, guards. Very well done. Oh, plugger, I should call him. Got to get the nickname right. We've got to take a break. Angus is up next to talk all things VFL and how they're going. Paul Hood's going to join us with the VFLW. Your questions, and as you've already heard, Andrew Buse is in the house. We'll be talking to him in a little bit, looking forward as ahead of the retro game. I think the collared jumpers are going on this week. I think even the goal umpires are going to give a little special
getting
treat.
Involved,
they're going to wear a bit of the old school uniform, and Buse can tell us some cracking old school retro stories. Looking forward to that. But we'll take a break. Back soon.
The Three Musketeers, Blink 182, Triple Threat, three in a row, the BLT, Selwood, Ablett, Dangerfield. There's no doubt the best things come in threes. And now the Geelong Cats introduce the MCG3 membership. You get entry to any three of our home and away games against the Pies, Bombers, Tigers or Hawks at the home of football in 2018. Price from $36, head to membership.geelongcats.com.au.
All right, we're back with To The Final Bell, the official Geelong Cats podcast with Scotty Gallen and Zach Toohey, as I am every week. And now we're joined for the VFL recap by Angus Kramer. Angus, great to have you here again.
Thanks, Lingy. Thanks, boys.
Big win on the weekend. Absolutely thrashed the Northern Blues. It was a 70-point victory for the Cats. And we mentioned right off the top, Ryan Gardner with six goals, the star of the show.
Yeah, we did mirror the AFL side and having a big win, which was good. Another strong defensive performance. We kept them to four goals after keeping our opponents to five last week. But yes, Guards was the star of the show with six goals, or Plugger as I should be calling him, which was, he claims that he didn't give the nickname to himself, but the story from coaches and players in the VFL side was after his one goal performance the week before, he came into the room before the song and said, "Boys, call me Plugger."
Oh, I like him. Now, on behalf of Cameron, I'll ask this. Ryan Abbott, two goals in the best again. Seriously, Zach, next week, he has to play against North.
Well, he has to be close, but not my
Take
decision.
Me through the game again.
Yep.
Every
again,
week you tell me the same thing.
Again, he starred, playing against some good ruckman, Matthew Lobby, the former Port player for Carlton. So the opposition has been of a high standard. And he had 13 touches, took marks around the ground, 30 hit-outs, was the best ruckman on the ground. But he showed the ability to go forward, the ability that he can not just play in the ruck, but he went forward, kicked two goals, took some marks, and looked really damaging up there.
Has to play, Cameron. Enough's enough.
Well, I would have thought so. Scott, I think Zach needs to start pushing a little bit harder, not sitting on the fence anymore. I think he needs to walk in and just
demand. Zach's going to mention the new contract his man got.
Big contract, Merrick, after a best on 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he was stoked with that. He played with a bit of confidence, played with a bit of arrogance, which is good. He was handy again, looks very confident with the ball, and he's really settling into that backline role.
I would have thought he's got pretty happy with his new contract. I don't see his name appearing in the best players right
he's
now.
Ridiculous.
That happens.
I watched his edits with him, and if he wasn't best on, he must have been second best.
I thought he was close. I reckon Shane O'Brien would be getting sick of me asking questions about him after the game, just for things to tell Zach in this podcast every week.
Can I, in a sec, Angus, you give his recap of his game, but Zach, I want to ask about George Haaland-Smith.
Yeah.
Every time he plays well in the VFL, just so consistent, he comes up, plays an amazing role for the AFL.
Mm.
Is it just always going to be a case of he's going to be right on that fringe, or can
he solidify his
position?
I suppose he seems to be. You'd be hard-pushed to find a bad game he's played at any level.
Yeah.
So you're right, he goes back in stars in VFL, but he's one of those guys, I love playing with him. You just know every week what you'll get from him. And look, we've got some really good depth and big names in the midfield, so I get there's a lot of competition. But from, I guess, an older player, or you know, a leadership point of view, his ability to go back and constantly perform at VFL, if nothing else, and this might not be consolation to him, geez, he sets a good example for the younger guys. But I don't know, it's one of those ones you just kind of say, I don't really know what to tell him, like.
I think definitely in the 4 years or so that I've been covering the VFL, the games he's played, rarely would you see him get less than 25, less than five clearances, and he racks up tackles as well. Like, every time he comes back, he performs. And you can tell that he wants to be playing in the AFL side, but when he comes back, he shows that he should be
his
up
attitude,
there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we get an update? Wasn't Nekiah Cockatoo supposed to play, or is he playing this week?
Didn't,
what's the latest?
Didn't play, no.
Someone's spinning that he was supposed to be coming back. So he's still not back. Scott Selwood, is he showing interest?
Oh, Scott would have to be pretty close, I think. And Hendo's getting there as well.
Hendo?
Yeah.
He'd be, forgotten he'd be nice in the VFL. He'd be handy.
He can finally run offline, Hendo. So, a beneficial skill to have at AFL, being able to move.
Fairly important. So Scott Selwood, big chance.
Yeah, he's close.
Hendo's
he's close.
Building back.
And Nekiah.
Cocky's still not quite there yet.
Yeah.
And Dan Menzel too is the other one who we mentioned last week, the fact that he's back running, yeah, feeling all right again. So hopefully some good players to come back in. But you'd say with the break they've had, they will come back through the VFL?
Yeah. I mean, we're a handy side already, but it'd be nice to put some of those names in there. We're sixth on the ladder, but we might skyrocket up a bit higher in the next few weeks if we get some of those names. A
couple of forwards to come back there. So Plugger Gardner's just going to have to say, boys, I don't care.
Don't you get
you're coming back. Just get outside the forward 50.
I think he just clears everyone out and says, put it on my head, and he does the damage. You hear a lot about forwards going back and becoming good defenders, knowing how their opposition plays. But he does. He plays a bit like a defender up forward, sometimes sitting behind. But he reads the ball pretty well when it comes over the back. And he might have got a few Joe the Goose goals, but six goals is a good return for him.
Absolutely is. This week's game?
Yeah, curtain raiser, 10 a.m. here at K Park. Quite early for senior footballers to rock up, but it should be a good curtain raiser on a big day for the club.
Kicking the dew off the ground. This is retro. I love it. The curtain raiser ahead of the big game against the Kangaroos. Angus, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.
Well, the VFL had a big win, as we just heard from Angus. The VFLW, however, had an absolute thriller. Welcome to the coach, Paul Hood. Good to see you, Hoodie. 1-point win against Melbourne Uni, 4-4-28 to 4-3-27. How were the nerves at the end of the game?
Pretty nervous at the end of the game. We kicked two late goals in the last 5 minutes, and we really didn't look like it for the rest of the day. So it sort of happened really quickly, and it was more relief, but it was a pretty nervy last 30 seconds once we hit the lead.
Now, Rocky, our gun recruit, she got the last goal, I believe.
She did. She had a massive day. So Rocky and Emma Carney went head-to-head. Now, they're known as probably the two toughest players in women's footy. Yeah. So the rest of us probably could have just stayed home and let them settle it old school. But Rocky to get that last goal. Emma kicked a couple in the third quarter, and it was a fantastic duel and a great day.
Our girl, Kate Darby.
Well, she must be winning the Coleman, is she?
She's going all right, isn't she, Kate? Like, she just finds a way every week to kick a couple. She's got herself really fit and getting a few last quarter goals and a lot of reward for effort. So, good on her.
Friend of the podcast. Oh. We keep pumping Kate up. While she's getting a kick and kicking goals, we'll pump her up, Scotty.
We can drop off, but we're still on Kate.
Hoodie, you're, apart from your role as VFLW coach, you are going to be the inaugural AFLW coach of the Cats. You're also the head of the Next Gen Academy here at the Geelong Cats. Can you tell all the listeners and me exactly what the Next Gen Academy is?
No worries. It's a great initiative set up by the AFL probably about 18 months ago now to support Indigenous players, multicultural players, and also players in remote communities. So we do some work up in East Arnhem Land. We do quite a bit here in Geelong with the Indigenous multicultural population as well, and supporting them and getting new people to the game, I guess. And this year we've joined with AFL Barwon running skill development academies for talented kids across the region. So there's, I think, 100 boys in different programs doing some work at AFL Barwon on Wednesdays, and a squad of 60 girls that are doing some stuff at Deakin Uni every Tuesday for the next 8 weeks. And they've got Rocky, Maddie Boyd and Natalie Wood coaching them, so getting some real expert coaching and a great level of skill. It's really exciting for the region.
You're doing some great stuff there. I don't know how you have time to do anything else, but you also do something else. Is it Geelong United? Tell us what Geelong United is.
Yeah, so Geelong United is a new program we started last year. Basically, everyone, the Cats, I guess, have the chance to get outside of the normal draft pathway. So whether it's these Next Gen Academy kids from up north or down here, or maybe father-son and soon father-daughter programs, anyone that we've got the chance to develop can come in into this Geelong United program. We chuck them all together and run some intensive skill stuff at the end of the season. Already... Now, we've had Oscar Brownless in that, Baxter Mensch, this year doing some work with them. So it's pretty exciting to see those fellas at a young age. And the more father sons through here, the better, I reckon.
There's about 35 there's of them another, coming up in about 18 years' time.
There was another one recently, wasn't there? What a Domsey.
Domsey had another boy.
Yeah, another one.
I've lost track. I used to know all the...
Zach, what can you offer? How many games at Carlton?
120.
How many at the Cats? 30...
Ooh. How many have we played in the last 24... round is this? 35?
Okay. Oh, you'll play to your 40, though.
I'm yeah, somewhere. Golf are you talking about?
All right, before we let you go, though, I did some trading AFLW season. 3 picks in the top 7 in the draft. That correct? Is it Nina Morrison who's being thrown up as the possible number 1 pick? Can I...
Ooh,
get an
exclusive.
Early scoop, or we
Hoodie
don't
doesn't
know
like
yet.
Giving much away.
No, wow, that is a big call this early. So there's a national championships to go, the under-18 national champs in the next lot of school holidays. But I can tell you that Nina's really done well over the last couple of years, put a great foot forward. But she's up there with a couple of other local girls too that have done well on that Falcons team, and looking forward to seeing them playing the national champs.
The cards are so close to his chest.
Did you see that trade, Ling? It was 10 paragraphs to describe it. And what happened... Geelong was 5 clubs. What actually did we get out of it?
We went forward. I think we went from pick 11 to 7. That's
how
right,
hard
isn't
was it?
It and then our last one went from, I think, 25 to 31 or something like that. We went late. But yeah, it lost
elite
me
level
about,
trading.
About 3/4 of the way through, I was done.
Thank you again, Hoodie. Great to see you and great to hear about the Next Gen Academy that you are heading up. Look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks, guys. Catch you soon.
Well, what a great week it was. AFL win, VFL win, VFLW win. And the biggest news of all, probably for the week, I was very remiss of me to not mention it right at the very top, was Matthew Scarlett's addition to the Hall of Fame. An incredibly well-deserved recognition for one of the greatest teammates I ever played with, and a bloke who almost changed the way fullback was played.
No doubt.
Fantastic achievement.
And he spoke so well, as you know, he doesn't like, but he had some great stories. And yeah, he went from Dow defender to 30 touches, transformed how they played. And it shows a lot that first year of eligibility, straight in.
Straight in.
No waiting for Scarlett.
As he'd call it, a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yes.
American style. Was he strutting around the club the next day? Did he have a little bit of swagger about him?
Well, he's got that walk anyway, that strut he has anyway. So that didn't change. But we obviously addressed it in the club and watched some vision. But Scala was very quick to sort of brush it aside and then do the review. And we addressed it in just the backs in our line meeting. And kind of having none of it, just got onto the review of the game. So it tells you a lot about him.
He'd always want to deflect, absolutely. Yeah. But he can't deflect here he's not here. So I will carry on for a second. This is a bloke who, his ability to adapt the way that the game changed and still be absolute elite in his performance. Mm. He was playing in the early 2000s when it was one-on-one footy. You had a fullback played on a full forward, and it was whether it was Matthew Lloyd or Barry Hall or whoever it was, and he beat them. Mm. He beat them and started finding the footy, even beating them in a one-on-one game. Then the game changed into this team defence and the structure of how you play and handing over and everything like that, and he excelled at that, and he still beat everybody in that, and he found even more of the football by doing that and set up everything for us defensively across his entire career. Even when we were a rubbish team, he was still the one whose performance was incredible.
People were scared of him. I think that he always had that intimidation factor, which is hard in this day and age, but people were legitimately worried.
And not just opponents, teammates. The amount of times he would wander up into the midfield and just look at a few of us and just suggest politely to us midfielders that perhaps we could man up a little bit or win the occasional contested ball. And we'd snap to attention, absolutely. As I'm sure the defenders do now when he wanders out to the huddle.
You just feel like you feel bad after a game if you feel like you've let him down, because apparently he just goes, oh, he wouldn't have missed that ball. Or it's like he would have done better then.
Great player. Well-deserved, Scarlett. Congratulations. Hall of Famer. And I'm sure there's a few more of his teammates to come through that time.
You should be next, Cameron, I would have thought. Premiership captain.
Don't think so at all, Scotty, but there will be
10-time All-Australian.
There will be some wonderful blokes who join Scarlo in the Hall of Fame. Question time. We love the fact that our listeners send in questions and really want to know what's going on and get to the bottom of a few things. So please keep sending them in. We love answering them. Xavier O'Donnell kicks us off with, my wife wasn't impressed when I told her I was on the podcast questions. Should I ask better questions or maybe she just doesn't care? This is good self-evaluation, okay. Xavier. I like it. Also, he does have a retro question. What do Lingy and maybe Scott remember about the old Cadinia Park in the 80s and 90s? Fans have fond memories of those Ablett senior years. Scotty, what do you remember of the old Cadinia Park?
Well, I, as you know, I'm not a Geelong fan, and I grew up down the road in Colac. So this says a fair bit about Gary Senior. We used to get the train up Saturday afternoon, and most of us didn't barrack, watch Gaz go home. And those great days, you just stand in the outer and watch it and then have a kick afterwards. That's my best memories of KP.
It was a magic time for me. It was when I was the crazy little Cats fan who just footy was absolutely everything. Used to come with Dad or with Dad and my brother. And to watch that team of Hocking, Bairstow, Couch, Bewes through the middle, Damien Burke tapping it down, and Barry Stone and Billy Brownless, Gary Ablett scene. Yeah, it was just excitement.
High scoring all the time.
Yeah, and the ball would just ping around. Kenny Hinkley off the halfback flank. He never manned up on anyone.
No.
He usually try and walk.
He was the Zach Tui.
Low hanging fruit then.
Should have won a Brownlow, Kenny Hinkley.
I know.
Got knocked out here by Peter Worsfold when he was on track for another best on. Would have got 3 votes in that game, which would have won him the Brownlow. He was a great player. But the crowd would just rise any time Gary Ablett Sr. went anywhere near the footy. It was an unbelievable time, and sort of the magic time in my life too, when you're a kid and football was just this unbelievable thing in your entire life. So it was some great memories. Loved the Cadinia Park days, and now you look around at this magnificent stadium, GMHBA Stadium, and it has completely changed, but it's still an incredible stadium. So great times, both of them. Jason Hare asks, from Geelong, living in Minneapolis, USA.
Oh, jeepers.
We've got a...
Hang on, there we go.
It's got international.
This is nice. Never miss a game or a show. Thank you, Jason. This is for Zach. With so many hammies being hurt and being a predominant quad sport for kicking, how much do you actually work on hamstrings in the weight room?
Me, personally?
Yes.
Not at all. It's all that soft ground I grew up on, you know? Just sort of thickened me up. Yeah, sports science, everyone knows how big it is in the game, and sort of every aspect of your prep is monitored really closely. So it is player specific. So I've been fortunate in that I haven't had many soft tissues. So my prep is sort of goes elsewhere. But for guys who have, they spend probably hours a week
on their
hammy stuff. Yeah.
Another one for you, Zach.
What?
From Darren Murray. Sorry, Scotty. Do you think players play better when the crowd decides to boo them? I know I'd never waste my time booing someone who wasn't any good. Good point, Darren. So maybe could be taken as a compliment. Lingy or Zach thoughts. But Gary Ablett got booed.
Oh, yeah, they were up and about.
But they gave up pretty much. He had it 37 times and kicked 3 goals.
You can't keep going, can you? Well, I kind of said this the first time I played against Carlton, it would have been so much worse if it was just deafening silence. Because I realised that it wasn't the biggest news ever when I left, but it would still be nice to think they'd be a bit cut up by it. So I agree. I reckon if you want to boo someone, chances are you're helping them.
Yeah, like, motivate them. And it is taken as, in your case, they cared enough.
They care enough to boo, yeah. So I reckon it's a fair call.
Okay. Scotty, I want to find you one here, but I'm not going to be able to because... Oh, actually, mate, you can jump in with this one.
Oh, Rob, this is a sympathy question.
Rob LaRoche asks...
Good on you, Robbie.
Shot from 60. Who do you want with the ball? You give some choices here. Actually, you can answer this one, Scotty.
I will, Ken. I'm an expert.
Billy Brownless, Ben Graham, or Tom Hawkins? With a wild card option, Zach Tui on the run.
Zach Tui on the run. No, maybe not Tomahawk, although he has done it on the siren in big games.
Against the Hawks.
I've seen it.
Just to crush the spirit of the Hawks.
William Brownless did kick that goal to beat Footscray in that great day.
The monkey's off the back now, Billy.
Yeah. Who was the other
the
option?
King of Geelong. Benny Graham.
Accuracy, no, but he could rival you for the talk. No, I'm not going with you. I'm dishing you. I'd maybe go Billy. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I like Billy. Was
he was a very good. He kicked a lot of goals. A
lot of goals.
60? Yeah.
60. Could you kick 60?
Oh, he does it from fullback.
Come on.
He does it from fullback every week.
I don't pass once I get past the centre.
Who would you go, Cameron?
Out of all of those, Billy's a fair choice. Mind you, Tom Hawkins has kicked them.
Crucial goals.
From outside 50, the most clutch outside 50 goal that I can recall. Billy's clutch goal in that 94 qualifying final was
35 or 40, maybe.
He'd call it 45 out. Okay, Billy?
Yeah, I'm going Billy.
But Zach Tui on the run is pretty handy.
It's a fair choice.
It's a good call, Cameron.
Thank you. I just needed to make up for the
speaking
fact
of sympathy.
Questioned whether or not you can kick it from 60. All right, we're going to take a break. As you heard, Andrew Buse is here. He's just stirring us up. He's in the background. He's poking ribs. He's being the pest it is. He wants to get on. He wants to talk. He's got some stories for us. Buse's up next.
The Three Musketeers, Blink 182, Triple Threat, three in a row, the BLT, Selwood, Ablett, Dangerfield. There's no doubt the best things come in threes. And now the Geelong Cats introduce the MCG3 membership. You get entry to any three of our home and away games against the Pies, Bombers, Tigers or Hawks at the home of football in 2018. Price from $36, head to membership.geelongcats.com.au.
Welcome back to the final bell. I always get that a little bit mixed up when I put two twos there, Scotty. But yeah. Please,
you're getting there. We're six podcasts in, but you're going well.
Sharpen up a little bit. But this is what we've been looking forward to. The rat is in the house.
Andrew, great to be here.
Andrew Buse. Welcome, Busey. I've already welcomed you because...
I chipped in, sorry.
No. I
couldn't help it. You guys were talking footy, and it's a really good subject, and...
We were getting lost a bit. Well, so, steer the ship back.
Scotty was getting a little bit out of control. Yeah. Just need a little bit of reining back in.
Just straighten us all up. We appreciate that. 282 games, 207 of those at the Mighty Cats, 75 at Brisbane, 12 for Victoria as well, which is a great achievement. All Australian, former Geelong captain, and even with all of that, all he's known now as is Jed's dad.
It's Jed's dad?
Yeah.
Jed's father?
It is retro game this week against North Melbourne, so we're going to get you to live back in the past a little bit and tell us some of your absolute best stories. Can I just start with one of my favourite moments? Now, was it 1985 versus the Footscray Bulldogs back then?
They were Footscray, yes.
Goal of the year, if not goal of the century and of all time. One of the most remarkable goals ever. Did you even consider handballing? Hopefully the people listening out there can remember what I'm talking about. He balked around about 15 people, went to bounce or touched the ball on the ground, left it behind, had to go back and get it, burnt 18 of his teammates on the field, kicked the ripper at the old Red Chicky Stand end of the ground. What a goal, but you were always going to kick that.
Well, it was amazing because it was really a lay-down misere. It was quite a simple hand pass, I think, coming from Darren Morgan, running into the pocket, and I thought... I need to get a little closer. And it was a little bit slippery in that little pocket. And I touched the ball on the ground. Lo and behold, feet have come out on the arse and left the ball behind. So I thought, better go back and get that. So by the time I got there, the cavalry had come. And it was all Bulldogs cavalry and some really good players that I had to get around, which was a task in itself. But if there had been less traffic, it would have been my teammates because I had to get rid of those buggers as well. Flanagan, Morgan, all queuing up for their shot at goal, and it was just a simple flick it over the shoulder and let the wind do its own thing, and I didn't even look, I just knew it was going through. It was like Ablett, you know, senior, he'd be on the other side and he'd just put it up in the air and you just watch it just go every which way and then just slip through straight through the middle. The little hurricane that used to blow around that Red Chicky Stand there, it did give you a bit of an advantage if you played here locally and, you know, you knew the wind, and it was by no stretch of the imagination, it was no luck involved whatsoever. every minute going through. Having said that, I did promise the boys, if it did win goal of the year, that we would purchase a barrel and we'd go around to someone's house and rip through it, which we did. So no one missed out. No one missed out.
Now, you mentioned Gaz. I always have to go back to him. You'd have 1,000 stories. Give us one quick one, because we love Gary, as you know.
On the field?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yep, no worries. That's easier. I mean, there's a million you can talk about him, but this came up.
Like, you knew your name. That was a good start.
Yeah. We actually got on pretty well, Gaz and I. And look, there's that time, I suppose, and this is not a skill of his. I mean, I saw him take stepladder marks over Justin Madden, and it was an incredible grab on the wing at Waverley Park on a night game, and I thought, if he keeps going, he'll be on top of the roof. Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking, God, he's got to land from up there. So, and he landed on his feet and just went back and away he went. But there was a day that we were playing Carlton out here on the Hello Turf here at Caninia Park, and the great dominator, Wayne Johnson, was just in front of me, and I was just up his ginger, and I thought, I'll get him in a tick. And knowing that it was very late in the quarter, I thought, I just got to tackle him, nullify it, and it's going to be all over for the quarter. Anyway, he's just about to pounce on the ball, and we're running full tilt, and I can just hear this, dunk, 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 dunk. I thought, oh, gee, someone's coming hard. And like that cartoon where the train takes the, you know, the buggy off the rails, and I went, oh, no. And all you could hear was the wind go out of somebody's lungs. It was, so it was just this continuous moaning. And the siren went, and I looked at Gaz, and he's okay. He's up and bounced up. And went, well done, mate. Good boy. Great quarter. Good half, whatever it was. You know, and he looked at me. He goes, no worries, mate. And I looked down the ground. Here's Jono. And he is still in the fetal position. That wind's still coming out of him. And I think he spent 3 weeks in hospital, ruptured spleen, ribs broken, gallbladder gone. It was like he was in a car accident. It was truly a horrific situation. And I have spoken to Jono Wayne about that a couple of times, and he's, why didn't you just grab me? Why didn't you just tackle me? It would have been so much better. And I said, oh, well, that happens.
Saying you couldn't quite hit as perhaps as hard as the great Gary Senior could. His power was phenomenal.
He was a freak. He was, and I saw him do the same to a guy called Wayne Shikowski or something from Richmond. And he was... oh, God, he was 5 metres away. He took five powerful steps and just creamed him, did his collarbone, never saw him play again. He was, oh, God, he
any
was
of these, were any of these free kicks, or is this just how
footy play was? On, that's retro. That's retro. The umpire, what was there? One umpire, I think, when I started. Then there was two. Then we had a tribe of them out there. So, you know, I played through a few of the changes in umpires. But when there was only one out there, not much happening.
I think... 1989 grand final, for so many Geelong fans, apart from the result, is one of the greatest games ever, but one of the most brutal games. I know we're talking about some of the brutality of the game, but for a sheer combination of skill, speed, phenomenal football, combined with almost crazy courage, was it, again, apologise for the fact the result wasn't what you wanted, but was it the greatest game you ever played in?
Well, it was the greatest contest, I think. One of the greatest games I think I've ever played in was the same year, the state games, Victoria versus South Australia on the MCG in front of 90,000 people. That was a great game to play in and a great result. But the greatest contest was clearly, I think, the 89 grand final, where you had some super skillful players. And the two best teams that year playing off in they were genuine two top teams. You know, probably the next one coming through was Essendon, and they finished third, so they weren't far off. But yeah, there was a very, very skillful bunch out there, but no quarter given, none taken. It was as tough as and hard as a game you'll ever play. It was probably a dirtier game as you'd ever play, in the sense that, you know, it was a bit of ruthless, unnecessarily ruthlessness, I suppose. But everybody knew where everyone stood. And it was on eggshells. It was you know, Dermot, who's a nutcase and had made no secret that he was going to get a couple of the lads. Yatesy was filthy with him from the previous game that we'd played only once that season, about round 10, I think it was. And Dermot had snipped him on a ball up and just run through him and kneed him in the family jewels, and he wasn't happy with him. So he said there was payback coming anyway. And you know, then there's talk of the conversation that Malcolm Blight was having, that, yes, at a meeting that he said, yeah, we're going to get Dermot. I was at every meeting. I don't recall that at all. I sometimes switched off when Malcolm was speaking. You know? So, you know, maybe it did happen. But at the same time, you know, like we'd had a great contest the year before, and it was that particular game earlier in the season was a great contest. They got over the top of us after we got in front by about 8, and the grand final was just a great game. We just lost. That was all.
So, when you watch footy now, like obviously it's become much more sanitized since you play, and I'm sure some of it had to happen for good reason. Is it like, do you find it too sanitized given what you experience as a player, or how do you feel even watching, say, Jed play? Do you worry he's going to get smashed, or do you look at him and think, well, this is nothing?
Oh, look, no, I absolutely love today's footy. I progressed through, and I still coach, and I've done juniors, I've done seniors, I've done the VFL, I'm still doing a little bit down at Anglesey with my eldest son playing down there. I just go and watch the kids because I watch the kids play, you know, and whether they're playing here or at local footy, it doesn't worry me. I mean, I think the game has become a smarter game for people to watch. It's a smarter game for people to play. The coaching is it's amazing. It's taken the, you know, and I think the rule makers have made it a hell of a lot safer game to play. Mm. So I look at it and go, what a fantastic position for guys of today to be playing the brand of footy and the style of footy, which I would have loved to have played. It would have been a fantastic game to play. You know, you didn't have to worry about firstly getting beaten up or having to beat someone up illegally and suffer weeks, because there's so much more discipline. And that would have been a good thing for me. I truly mean that.
But you were very good at dishing it out. Give us your best little story you got away with. You were a back pocket.
It's a theme here, isn't there?
You're good on the lip, weren't you? Were you
it's funny that, you know, like I think it was Tony Shaw said that I was one of the best at shooting off the mouth. I honestly was nothing compared to Craig Lambert, who was the worst. He was the worst, and he would no sooner rip into his own teammates than have a go at Spider Everett for being the ugliest man in Australia. but no, I don't reckon I was too lippy, but...
Who did you get? Come on.
Who was my best
guess? The one that didn't get away.
Probably the first, my very first time I got reported.
Oh.
It was against the Bulldogs. It was one of the Cordy boys. And he and I stood toe-to-toe going hammer and tong. And both of us were reported for hitting each other. And we back then they'd have the aftermatch, and we went up the aftermatch and had a chat together and a beer. And we'd organised how it was all going to go. We met at the tribunal. We sat in the same room together. We spoke about how it was all going to go. And lo and behold, it was all just jumper punches and a bit of friendly banter, and that was it, and as far as we were concerned. The umpire who reported us and the goal umpire and the boundary seemed to have paled in insignificance, which what they said. So that was probably the most enjoyable off? One to get off. Yeah. I got him. Every other,
cords
every
get
other,
off?
Yeah, every other weak one that I did, I always got weeks for. So it was so disappointing.
That is brilliant.
So disappointing.
We could talk to you for hours. We've got, unfortunately, producer tapping on the shoulder saying,
"Get rid of him."
Can't, no, not get rid of
He's
him.
He's banging on too much.
We should have just done a podcast purely abusing and just kept going. But before we do let you go, though, you are looking as fit as a fiddle. It's almost like you could still play it. You run a gym, or you are keeping incredibly fit? Is it? Tell us how, why. I need some tips.
Well, it's interesting. I went and worked at local radio station K-Rock Bay FM for 3 years, and it only took 3 years to put on 10 kilos, and very easy to do in sales down there at the Rock. And I thought, you've got to have a hard look at yourself, son. You're going backwards at a rate of knots. So I'd always wanted to get back into fitness, so I went back in, did my fitness PT course, add that with my coaching, and I thought, that's a pretty good brand. And lo and behold, we own a little gym now, and we run a lot of group training out of it. I make sure I uphold my end of the bargain a couple of sessions a week. And
come on, give it a little plug. What's it called? Where is it?
InSync Fit, and we've got our training program is Buddy Up Style Fitness, and we are down in 10 Bloomsbury Street in Newtown.
Excellent. So that's where we've got a head screen. Oh, no. We start putting
your
on the,
hamstring might get through that, Cameron. Whereas I will be there.
You're a supreme athlete, mate.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much for joining us, Busy. Honestly, we could have chatted all day. And me being a Cats fan who watched you play, I could have spoken to you for hours and hours. And about the times sitting in the old Brownlow stand when it was the old wooden seats watching you play for this great club. Thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend, the retro game. Obviously, you'll be there supporting Jed and cheering them on. Hopefully
we're dishing out a whole heap of posters with retro photos. I love it.
Yeah, we've got the collars back on the jumpers.
I like that, yeah.
Real old, no lace-ups. You used to wear lace-ups.
I reckon I was the last one to wear a lace-up.
I reckon you were too.
They pulled rank on it. They said, no, you can't wear them. And I got one of I got Bruce Linder's wife to stitch a big strip of Velcro over the top so that because they reckon someone broke their finger in it. It was all about branding. Brandel owned the rights to it, and they didn't want anyone else wearing unbranded equipment.
Wow. So you were the last lace-up, man.
I was the last one.
There you have it. Thank you, Busey. Great to see
Cheers,
you.
Cheers, guys.
I seriously could have spoken to Busey for another hour and a half there. Maybe we can get him back again later on in the season. It'd be nice. But it's time for Whom the Bell Tolls, where we put somebody or something under the pump a little bit in the big wide world of AFL football or in any world sport going on. Can I start off on this one, Scotty?
You can, Cameron.
I don't know if you might have something to say about this. All this talk on the back of the Gold Coast Suns on the weekend playing against Geelong, losing badly, all this talk by people, and I think Paul Ruse was one of them, and a couple other people saying that the AFL has to step in and make sure that Tom Lynch stays at the Gold Coast Suns is complete and utter nonsense. The AFL is there to be an independent manager of the league. They are not there to interfere and make players stay or go to certain clubs to satisfy their whims. I mean,
totally agree, Cameron.
The AFL have got to butt out. If Tom Lynch wants to stay at the Suns, great. If he wants to leave, great. They can't be saying, here's $1 million extra for marketing and to be the face of footy in southeast Queensland.
It makes a mockery of the salary cap if you do that.
Exactly right.
No, they can't. I mean, Lynch will leave, so let's get that on the table.
He'll leave.
He'll be at probably Richmond. Because the kid's had 8 years, and why wouldn't he leave?
I've heard Collingwood are going
to sniff as well. But yeah, the AFL can't be seen to be... I mean, the Chris Judd thing to get him to come, that was had whiff all over it. And they let that one go through. But since then, it's very difficult. ACAs and all that sort of stuff that you get?
ASAs. Yeah,
you'd be getting something for this, probably.
Pennies.
But no, you're totally right. I mean, it contradicts everything they stand for, and you can't be paying him outside the cap just to stay in the state. Exactly. It's ridiculous.
Otherwise, you've got other clubs who'd be saying, well, hang on a second. What about us? What about St Kilda? We haven't won a premiership since 1966. Yeah. Well, you know, get us another couple of players. Give us some money outside the salary cap.
I can't be playing extra to keep players.
It's not a precedent that
can be
set.
He's big fish.
He's
off the fence.
Irritating me massively on the weekend, Scotty. What's yours?
Oh, there's a few candidates. I wanted to bring up NBA for Zach.
J.R. Smith.
Seriously. I mean, he's ruined the whole series. They're not going to win a game now. Although George Hill's escaped. He missed the free throw to win it. Yeah. But I'm a bit emotional about J.R. Smith. Rossi Lyon flossing his teeth in the coach's box.
One of the more interesting
Bomber ate a sandwich once, and that was outrage for weeks. But he's flossing his teeth. Zach, did you see the footage of that?
I didn't see it.
He had one of those, little ones, just playing with his teeth.
Dental hygiene.
Yeah, I'll repeat that.
Well, that was the most exciting thing that happened in that game against
the That's true. And then a late one that's brought to my attention on a theme that we have going. Straws are now, you're not allowed to serve straws at the edge now.
This is on the back
What's
of the fact
happening
that you
to the world, Cameron? Straws are out now.
No, I think
Zach agrees with me.
A big
he won't say it publicly.
Chain,
of course I don't.
A big supermarket chain has said they're going to stop selling
straws.
And they're reducing.
I've conceded the bags under pressure. I'm not conceding the straws.
I'm just saying, at Edge and responsible bars, hospitality venues, we now don't just automatically.
You want your clients
put
to drink
straws.
Quicker. Through a straw, they can just subtly sip, sip, sip.
No, it's
you want them drunker
trying to protect
to spend more money.
You are just evil, aren't you? Evil, death to
Zach,
animals.
What are your thoughts on
Scott
straws?
Going.
Nah, I'm with Lingy. You need to have a look at yourself here, Scotty.
We got this on video.
This is ridiculous.
We do have to finish up. Reminder to everybody listening: retro game this week, 1:45 against North Melbourne, the Kangaroos here at GMHBA Stadium. The VFL's playing too, as Angus mentioned before, 10 a.m. The old school curtain raiser, that's certainly going retro. There's a $5,000 cruise to be given away at the game, so make sure you're there. And also a call out to all the fans to dress in retro gear. Want to see some old school duffel coats, badges, the beanies with the stripes on it, with the big pom-pom on the top, that sort of setup. So please get along, enjoy the game. It is a big test for the Cats, Zach. It'll be a beauty against North Melbourne. They are playing some good footy. Hopefully We will be chatting next week about a terrific win against the Kangaroos. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you, Zach. Enjoy the week. Hopefully the Cats have a win in the big retro game.